Thank you for the scripture reading, Dylan.
Couldn't have hired someone shorter.
Good man. I remember those days, Dylan, being in high school. Remember, I'd often crash my buddy's basement. His name was Jesse, and we'd hang out there, and we'd have fun there. We'd watch movies there. I remember this conversation where this guy named Ryan, who I'd known back in junior high in those 2 years where I went to the Christian school, and he said something that I never forgot. He said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in that stuff, but I don't really practice it." And that was a confusing statement to me. And it was a statement of like recognizing the times that we were in. Because in those later years in high school, we were being offered things from our greater culture that I had never encountered before. And it wasn't clear, what am I to do with this lifestyle being offered to me that's counterculture to the instruction I've been told as the people of God are and how we're to live. And I didn't really have too many people I was able to go, hey, let me tell you what happened. I don't know what to do with this. So it just kind of stayed there, and it was unclear as to what I was supposed to do with it. I don't know where you're at in your life, but there's this question we've been talking about and that we're going to talk about this morning that's coming from the passage we're looking at, and it's this question. Why should we live with uncompromising faithfulness? Why should we live with uncompromising faithfulness to the Christian message, to the one true God, to Jesus? So, I think it's appropriate for us to process this, as this is what the series is called as well. Why should we not conform to the crowd around us? Why should we conform to Christ? Especially if it's going to lead to trials and persecutions and whatever forms they come, if we're not going with the crowd or the rulers or the idols of this world. It's a question that this final section of Daniel answers. It's a question that we've been answering and processing all through this book of Daniel. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to review where we've been in this book of Daniel as a refresh. And if you missed any one of the messages and you wish you were here, well, we can't replace that. We can't time travel you back, but what we do have is these preservations of the messages. They're on our website, and you can listen to them anytime, northstarchurch.ca. So feel free to go back. But isn't the bulletin great this week? Like, I love the extra level of creativity and diligence that our office staff put in with this picture of the Bible Project, this overview of the book of Daniel. Man, you got an overview and a coloring book all in one, right? This is great. So, brief review of where we've been answering the question, why should we live with uncompromising faithfulness to Jesus? So, chapter 1, week 1, Daniel 1, verse 8, God at the thrust of it. Remember when when it talks about Daniel, it says, Daniel was determined. In high school life, we remember he was a young man. He was a young man, and he was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. Thrust of this, he was determined not to be lured in by the appetites, the pleasures of the surrounding culture around him, the Babylon that would deceive him, that would pull his heart away from the instructions of how he's to live as a godly young man. So he was determined. And we did this whole overview of what, like, oh, this is written in the 6th century BC, this when Daniel lived, and we talked about the thrust of the book of Daniel, and it was that, to take comfort and stand firm. This is the word for the people of God. Take comfort, stand firm. The people of God are called to live with uncompromising faithfulness, and God's in control. And he's going to deal with the evil of this world that we deal with. So, and we talked about there's this key verb that God had everything, and it's the verb to give. The king gives, and he's contrasted with what God gives. In a greater level, our world gives, and it's contrasted with what God gives. Week 2, Daniel 2:11, God at the heart of it. Remember, the king was offered this incredible dream, and he knew there was something about it that was divine, and he asked all his wisdom people, all his spiritual people, and they said, the king's demand is impossible. No one can tell you both the interpretation of the dream and the dream itself. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live here among people. Our wisdom people of our culture have said the cosmos is all that is, ever was, or ever will be. And here in the book of Daniel, we have a man who's living with uncompromising faithfulness, who brings a wisdom that is greater than the world. Why? Because God gives it to him. He prays for it. His life depends on it. God answers. And we see instruction that as people of God, we are to pray. We are to praise. We are to point to Jesus, and we're to proclaim Christ. And we talked about this I will statement. If you're in a life group, every week you're asked, I will what? As in, when we read this, our life is supposed to be changed by the truths that we encounter. So you'll see in your bulletin also this I will statement. We've got these in here, and I want to prep you that we have tacks over here by the cross, and there's this response we're going to call you to. What is it that God has been stirring in your life as a result of hearing the Daniel series, Uncompromising Faithfulness? I will. So at the end of the message, we are going to give chance for you to fill this in and bring it to the cross, as in a response of prayer and hearing God's word. So anticipate that at the end of our talk here. Week 3. Daniel 3:17 and 18. How do you develop a resilient faith to the idols, rulers, and pressures of this world? Verse 17. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Another life and death situation. Will you conform to the world and bow to its idols? Or will you be faithful and uncompromising to the one true God? Here's where the crowd's going. Are you going with them? If not, there's a consequence. Here's what they say, and it's a clue in how to have a resilient, uncompromising faith. They say, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, there's a clarity here, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. When it comes to the gods of this world and the pressures of this, the crowds of this world, we will not bow. It's an even if faith. We talked about no matter what happens, if you've got an even if faith, that's a resilient faith to the fires and trials of this world. Week 4, Nebuchadnezzar, that one of the great illustrations of the Bible coming across this great, one of this ongoing messages all throughout the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world, takes credit for all that he's done. And it's a first person, like, it's all about me. As he looked out across the city, Daniel 4, verse 30, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. My. This is the human rebellious condition. Cosmic plagiarism. to take credit for all that God has given you. And we talked about how Nebuchadnezzar's life represented this great truth from the Bible that God cuts down the proud and he raises up the humble. And we don't want to be those people who stand in opposition to God. And the scriptures say that the proud stand in opposition to God. But God raises up the humble. Chapter 5, week 5, a parallel chapter, another empire king taken down. The hand that just appears and the writings on the wall. And we use this expression in everyday culture to get at things. And Daniel 5, 26, 28 to 28, as in, here's your future. Belshazzar, king, empire ruler of Babylon. Mene, Parson was the message written on the wall. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And we know this from history. After Babylon came the Persian Empire, the Persian Medes Empire. And we get an account from going way back, 6th century BC, of the empire change, which we get all this instruction on in the book of Daniel. And that night, Belshazzar, for mocking God, dies that night, and the empire transition happens. And we see that God will rescue and save his people in the next chapter, Daniel 6. Daniel in the lion's den, this famous story. God rescues his people. Week 7, the Ancient of Days we are introduced to. Again, this, our days are numbered. But there is one who is the Ancient of Days, whose days are not numbered, who we will one day face in eternity. And we get this revelation of God weighing our lives again in Daniel 7, 13 to 14. We encounter one like a son of man, but not fully human. One like the gods and one like man. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so the people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Why should I live with uncompromising faithfulness to Jesus? Over and over again in the book of Daniel, empires will clash and there can only be one. And here is the Ancient of Days giving the God-man power and authority to rule, and his rule is eternal. Why should I be uncompromising and faithful to Jesus? Because he will rule in eternity. We see that there's no one like this one, the God-man, and this is the very reference that Jesus referred to himself as, the Son of Man. Love to get more into it, but there's the summary. Last week's message, Daniel chapter 9, God's relationship with his people is best equated to the covenant of marriage. Like marriage, there's great consequences to unfaithfulness, to living a compromised relationship. And just like marriage, there is incredible blessing to living an uncompromising relationship to the one you are in covenant relationship with. And we saw that God gives us this incredible tool that moves heaven and changes earth, and it's intercessory prayer. Somehow, God, in dialoguing with the Ancient of Days, God changes this world that we're in, and he moves heaven, and we get this ongoing sense of how these two worlds are interconnected. So often it's not clear, is it? We go along and we can be fooled and thought and told the cosmos is all there is, all there ever was, and all there ever will be. And yet many of us have had these experiences that indicate there's more than that. And we see that in the scriptures, there's more than that. And we see it in prophecy. Hey, there's one coming, one like man but not man. And that one where we center history around, it goes all up to 0 BC and 0 AD. And it's like, we date our calendar by this event. In our year, every year, we go, this highlight of the year so often is the Christmas season. And you'll see in your bulletin what's coming next. This, I don't have that one, but there's the invitation. There it is. In our next series, this Advent series, meaning he's come and he's coming. A Christmas longing. So in our next series, we're going to be reflecting on Christmas time, and it's a beautiful season that reveals what we truly long for most. In this Advent series, we'll reflect on our deepest longings for true peace, hope, joy, and love. And as we reflect on our greatest needs, we'll see how Jesus is coming into our lives is the means to fulfilling our deepest longings. There are your neighbors, those you work with, who have their longings more exposed, who may be wearing their heart on their sleeve right now because they're going through a rough time. They need to hear the good news of Christmas, that it's more than the gloss of capitalism, of buying gifts for ourselves. They need to hear where they can find true hope and meaning. And this is why we reflect on Christmas each and every year. So every time we get a new series, it's a new opportunity to invite your neighbor, to consider, to pray. So I keep that before us. So there's Daniel. That's where we've been. I got a story for us. It's a story of a godly older man who had an incredible prayer life, who walked with God incredibly through his life. It's a story of his life where, this older man, he went through a lot in his life, and yet he was uncompromising over and over again. And somehow, in this life of faithfulness, in a righteous life, God gave him these dreams that gave him this sense of what's to come and how heaven and earth are connected. And we have a copy of that for you, and it's written in the scriptures, and it's the end of this book. That righteous man was Daniel, and he had this dream, this vision, and it goes from spans from Daniel 10 to 12. Picking up on Daniel 10, verse 4, on April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning. His eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Just picture all of us screaming at the same time, and that's still not enough of the power of this one's voice. Who is this? As we've read through the book of Daniel as a family, taking up this charge to study God's word, this is where my wife comforted our children and was like, it's okay. It's okay. This isn't too scary. We can keep reading. So who is this? Daniel says, only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but something happened. They knew there was something going on, and suddenly they were terrified and they ran away to hide. Can you imagine? So there he is, alone, seeing this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale. I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, the man whose voice roared like a vast multitude of people. When I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me up, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he said this, I stood up still trembling. Who is this? We keep reading. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. As a pastor, I get all kinds of incredible privileges of walking with people at the end of their life. And there's some amazing stories people tell me. And in confidence, I can't always tell them all to you. But I've heard stories such as this, where lives were changed. And here it is, as we've reflected on this Daniel prays and heaven moves. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. What the heck does that mean? Right? Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to you, to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Then the one who looked like a man, so this one we're referring to earlier, the one in the white linen with a belt of pure gold around his waist, whose body looked like a precious gem, whose face flashed like lightning, his eyes flamed like torches, his feet and arms shone like bronze, his voice roared like a multitude. That's who the one like a man, he touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I am filled with anguish because of the vision I've seen, my Lord, and I am very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. In chapter 11, and we don't have time to go every detail through here. Chapter 11, you're going to see spirit princes and kings of north and kings of south. And you're going to see a lot of historical events between empire and regime changes. We talked about the empire change from Babylon to Persia. Well, the great historical change from Persian Empire to the Greek Empire, where Alexander the Great just roared through the ancient world and conquered it. And there's these indications of spirit princes. And they refer to Michael as a spirit prince, the archangel. And Michael's job, we see, is he's the one who's to fight for God's people. He's the one who's to fight for God's people. And it seems in direct correlation to Michael is the contrast of these spirit princes of these empires. So it's like there's these mighty demons running, ruling over this empire. There's this heaven, we get heaven peeled back. Eternity's peeled back for a moment. It's so unclear so often what's going on beyond the things of this world. We see there's spiritual forces guiding us. So who is this one like a man? Well, it says in chapter 11:1 that he went alongside the archangel and he stood beside Michael to support and strengthen him. So this one is mightier than an archangel. I think given how we've been introduced to the one like the Son of Man in Daniel 7, considering his great power, considering how he can strengthen and support an archangel, that this is the Son of God. This is Christ. And it's amazing as we start digging into this book, hidden in the Old Testament between the major prophets and the minor prophets, and how eternity is opening up and our lives are being opened up. And we can relate to Daniel. How can someone like me talk to someone like you? And that's the human condition of like, we're not good enough to approach you, God. And yet, what does the one like a man do? Well, he touched his lips and suddenly he could speak. He lifted him up and suddenly he could get up from being face down, trembling. And then it says, verse 18, then the one who looked like a man touched me again and I felt my strength returning. I think some of us have had that experience before too. Or just a touch from God and you know it's him. And all of a sudden you go from this place of great weakness to great strength. This is what he does in our lives. And he speaks this life, and he speaks this word to Daniel. But we know throughout the scriptures that this is a word not just for Daniel, it's for us. And he says, when he gets up close to us, he says, don't be afraid. Verse 19, chapter 10. For you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. These are words I want you to hear. That as you seek to live with uncompromising faithfulness, that God, when you need him to, he will come right there and he'll give you a word of strength. And he often again, over and over, says, don't be afraid. I don't know what you're afraid of right now, but hear this word, don't be afraid. Hear this word again, that you are so precious to him. We heard that throughout the scriptures. God has knit you in your mother's womb. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You are precious to him. I don't know if there's people in the church or things that have happened in life that feel like it get in the way of that. Just hear God's word over you today. You are precious to him. Have peace, be encouraged, be strengthened. Another indicator of just who this one is like a man, we cut to Daniel 12, verse 5. I, Daniel, looked and saw two others standing on the opposite banks of the river. So we talked about how he was at the Tigris River, and then he has this encounter, and it says Michael comes alongside. So he's introduced to Michael. Remember, he's at the riverbank. And then earlier in chapter 8, he's at a different riverbank. He's at the Ulai riverbank. And he encounters Gabriel. And Gabriel's job is he's the one who gives understanding to God's people. So who are these two figures? Well, given Daniel, I saw two others standing on opposite sides of the riverbank. I think the text, quite confidently we can say, though unnamed, are pointing to these archangels, Gabriel and Michael, standing on the riverbanks. And then one of them asked the man dressed in linen, okay, we know him, we've been talking about him, who was what? So there's riverbanks, where was he standing? Above the river. How long will it be until these shocking events are over? This is a question of humanity that we talked about and are going to talk about in the Christmas series. It's always, how long do I have to deal with this health issue? How long do I have to deal with this injustice at work? How long do I have to deal with this trial in my life and of this world? How long? And the archangels ask the one who's above the river, standing above the river, who was it in the opening chapter who hovered above the waters of this world, above creation? Who was it when he came in flesh and blood who walked on water? We know him, right? Jesus, the Son of Man, Son of God, the one who will be given rule for eternity. They ask him, and what? Here's his response. Who is standing? Verse 7, chapter 12. The man dressed in linen who was standing above the river raised both hands towards heaven. So, in a court of law, you raise your right hand, and this This is what was known to make a solemn oath as an ancient Jewish person. And then it says, but he raised both hands. And then it says he took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever. Well, we know about the ancient Jewish people. They never even used the name of God because they so revered it and treated him as holy. So they would never do this. But this is a righteous, powerful one. This is one who is powerful. Who is it? It's Jesus. Well, what's he do? Who does this in ancient times? Well, it's the priest saying a blessing over his people, right? So we have the ultimate high priest, Jesus, hovering above the river. And he says, it will go on for a time, times, and half a time when the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end and all these things have happened. And there's this word spoken over, there's going to be hard times at times in our life. But here's what God does with them. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. That's chapter 12, verse 10. And he says the same word in chapter 11. I'll read it because we have it on PowerPoint here. In talking about God's people, wise leaders will give instruction to many, but these teachers will die by fire and sword, or they will be jailed and robbed. During these persecutions, little help will arrive, and many who join them will not be sincere. And some of the wise will fall victim to persecution, and in this way they will be refined and cleansed and made pure until the time of the end, for the appointed time is still yet to come. We struggle. Why do these hard things have to happen? We see a humanity that rebels against God, a broken world that we live in. We don't fully understand why there's hard times in our life. But we see and we've heard that God takes what is all that is not right in this world and how the spiritual powers of evil in this world seek to kill and destroy, but God somehow uses pain and he uses it to purify us, to refine us for eternity. And this chapter 12 is an epic chapter, and it's the clearest picture of resurrection in the whole Old Testament. It changes the way the Jewish people thought. Before this, they never really had a concept of eternity. And you can see that as you read it. And here in Daniel 12, verse 2, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. That's also the hard news of if you live in defiance to the one true King of Kings, there is shame and everlasting disgrace. It's a scary, awful message that's hard to comprehend, and that God will judge lives that are not right before his. So the call is to live with uncompromising faithfulness. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. As for you, Daniel, as for you this morning, men and women, young and old, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. How do you live with uncompromising faithfulness to Jesus? In a preaching meeting before we started this series, appreciated this word from Amy Voss. She said, did you see the word in the title that's hidden in this series? What word is hidden in uncompromising? Can you see it there? It's the word promise. Hold on to the promises of God. The promises of God through this book of Daniel have just been coming up over and over again. And here's the promise. I'm going to make all things right in this world. Though the empires of this world threaten us, though there are times of persecution and trials, though we have to live through brokenness and all that's not right, hang on to the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Son of Man, for he's ultimately one day going to make all things right. We have a saint among us where I was calling her this morning, checking in on her as she's battling cancer. She's had a heart attack recently. She has taught my children Sunday school. She has shone with her righteousness. She's at this place that we will all face one day where eternity is looked to be peeled back in a whole new way. And I'm thankful that talking to her, the plan is to bring her to hospice here in Quesnel soon. But it's this point where she knows she's going to meet the Ancient of Days. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know our days are numbered on this world. But there is great truth in knowing that we have one who strengthens us, who fights for us. The New Testament, let me conclude by pointing out this talk about there's spiritual battle. Heaven and earth are joined, and this final word from Ephesians, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Hear this word, church. Don't be afraid. You are very precious to God. Have peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. You've got one who fights for you. What's your response to hearing this word? Heaven and earth are interjoined. This message that God is in control. Stand firm, take comfort. So instead of verbally responding in prayer, what we're going to do is we're going to write a response that is, try and use an action word, a verb. And when you're ready, we're going to bring that to the cross here. And there's tacks there, and just tack it to the cross. It's a gesture of bringing our intentions or laying our sin at the cross. So when you're ready, come to the cross if this is the response you're willing to make.